And live from RKGGF Studios here on this Thursday morning, I'm Sam Speck. Happy to have you with us as we are joined over the phone by Trooper Ben Gardner with the Kansas Highway Patrol. Ben, can you hear us?
I can.
Great stuff. As Ben, thanks so much for joining us here on this Thursday morning as we have our conversations every Thursday with our trip around the Thin Blue Line. Today again, speaking with the Kansas Highway Patrol. As Ben, I have not had the honor to have an interview with you, so I'm glad to have a speak with you on this Thursday morning.
Well, hey, thank you for inviting me. I always say to the public that anytime somebody opens the door for the High Patrol, we're going to step through that. So you guys invited me, and I want to step through and interact and talk to you and your listeners. So thank you.
Hey, great stuff. Yeah, we are very happy to have you with us here on this Thursday morning. I think timely. We'll just go ahead and start with, holiday travel. It's going to come up here. I know you guys obviously see an influx in travel, whether it's people that live here in Kansas or whether it's people just driving through. Obviously, Interstate 70 is a bit north of us, and that's probably where most of the drive-through traffic happens to come from. But again, there is a lot of a lot of holiday travel that come with that. So real quick, let's just let's dive in to some good tips, some maybe good safety precautions, things like that. And Ben, if you just want to go ahead and start before people even get in their cars, what's a good thing to think of before they go out on holiday and travel for the holidays?
Yeah, so there's several things. I mean, before they start the trip, they need to do a list of things. Making sure the vehicle is ready for that travel is probably the first step. You know, you don't want to get on the road and have something bad occur as you're in route. So checking your vehicle over good beforehand, knowing your route, knowing which way you're going to go, and then letting your close friends and family know the route that you're going to take and sort of the timeline of what you're going to be traveling. So if you're not there to the final destination at a certain time, they can start maybe making some calls, or if need be, really guide officers to the route that you had given them so that maybe we can try to discover and locate those that are maybe missing. So letting people know their route is important. You know, getting a good night sleep beforehand and getting all the things in your vehicle that you might want if something does occur that you break down. So, you know, blankets, ice scrapers, kitty litter or sandbags, non-perishable food and water. And then lastly, before you travel, to make sure you leave in enough time for your trip, not rushing yourself. When you start rushing yourself, you start doing things you shouldn't do, driving too fast, taking risks and passing a no passing zone. So remember the multiple things there to be doing before you even start.
Yeah, and you had mentioned one that some people look over so easily nowadays because everybody's got their cell phone, if not in their hand at 24/7, then it's in their pocket. So, I mean, it's right there, and they think, you know, they're one click away from getting a hold of somebody. But you had mentioned, you know, letting somebody know your route, letting know, how long it's going to take you to be there, because especially here in Kansas and many other places, I lived up in North Dakota for a little while as well, and I'll tell you what, there is a couple, you know, blocks of hours sometimes where you go without cell range, and if you get into any trouble out there, whether it's car trouble, whether you spun out due to some black ice, it could be anything like that, and you don't have cell service and you didn't tell anybody where you were going or that you even left, you're kind of stranded on an island at that point. So that's a good point that you make as well. And also, I heard that you had mentioned some kitty litter and things and well in there, and I don't know if some of our listeners maybe are familiar, but what are some good ways to maybe gain some traction, maybe if we do get some significant snowfall? I know kitty litter is a good way, but what are some other ways, maybe if you get stuck with a low-profile car, that maybe gets you out of the snow?
Well, you know, having a shovel of some type in your vehicle is going to help you maybe get some of that barrier that's on the front or back of your vehicle, maybe even underneath it. But having items that can allow you to get traction, like I listed, kitty litter or sand, just a wide variety of different things you can put in the vehicle. And as a last resort, people don't think of this, but I've seen it done and it's worked, is that if you can't have something with you, if you've forgotten it, to get your floor mats out and to lay them underneath the front of the wheels as best you can. That will give you some grip maybe to get out of that space. So just the last resort, a floor mat would be a good thing. And in addition, I want to add too, you talk about, you know, cell towers not having connectivity, you know, areas of dead spots in your travels. You know, we think that our phones are going to work at all times. In the 20 years I've been a trooper, when I respond to a crash scene, there's times where people in them wrecks, their phones get ripped away from their hands, or they get thrown out of the vehicle in a rollover and it's not available for them, or it's damaged significantly and that phone's not functional. So why it is important to let our friends and family know the routes and the times of when we're going to be traveling. So if something does take place and we can't find, or you're not there on time, we can at least start guiding law enforcement first responders on the route that you might have traveled.
Certainly, certainly. All right, so let's shift the focus now to when you are in the vehicle. I think you kind of hit and made a good segue into it, the fact that you had said give yourself plenty of time so then you're not forcing things, you're not rushing things, and, again, potentially making either subtle or major mistakes behind the wheel when you're on your drive.
Yeah, I mean, when we get behind, when we leave late, we seem to do things, like I said, that's probably illegal. So giving yourself enough time, really making sure that you're comfortable and you're pacing yourself in your travels. Speeding is something that is significant during the holiday season, and the only person we give a pass on for speeding is Santa Claus that day. we let everybody else stay within the parameters of what the posted speed limit is. And on that day alone, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, there's vehicles flying down the road at 100 miles per hour, excess of 100 miles per hour. It's very common for our troopers to be locating those vehicles on them days. So to really be mindful of your travels and to always put your seatbelt on, not knowing what foolish drivers are around you doing things they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, and a quick question about the offices as well. Does the KHP kind of have a bump in enforcement during around these holiday times?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a focus. There's a rally. There's a gathering of troopers knowing that we've got some significant travels on our roadways. We've got motorists that are going to need help. So with that comes our troopers being more active, looking for those drivers doing something in excess than what's typical and what's legal. You know, it's very common for our troopers during the Christmas time alone to be arresting, you know, close to 20, 25 people all across Kansas, if we look at all of Kansas, for driving impairment, driving intoxicated. So, you know, them 20 arrests that we are making, and that's just for us, you think of the police departments and sheriff's departments, There's a lot of activity. You know, we write probably close to 700 speeding tickets during the Christmas time, holiday travel time. And we will be assisting close to 800 people on the side of the road, broke down or needing directions, changing a flat tire, you know, helping motorists on the side of the road. So, you know, in that preparation of travels, you know, getting their vehicle ready, another good number to have is to call *47. That's the number to the Kansas Habitual Dispatch. If they need assistance, if they're broke down or see somebody broke down, or if they want to report an impaired driver or someone they believe is maybe driving distracted or fatigued, the dial *47, it goes directly to our dispatch center where they can then route a trooper to that area of concern that our motorists are seeing.
Yeah, and a good piece of advice there again, *47. It's very simple. It's easy, as streamlined as dialing in 911, except this gets you right to the KHP. So great piece of advice there. Now, again, you know, we don't see too much significant snowfall. Of course, I'm originally a Colorado kid, so there's I'm used to sometimes feet of snow being on the grounds. But, you know, sometimes it does build up out here, especially on the highways and shoulders. There happens to be ice. And in certain situations, there's really nothing that you can do to help avoid your car from sliding into a ditch. But there is certainly things that you can do while you are sliding and the car is out of control to avoid making that situation worse. And whether it's overcorrecting or something like that. So, I mean, I don't really know how you would kind of, you know, have on your opinion on this viewpoint here. But for me, when I'm sliding on ice, I just kind of let the car come to a halt instead of trying to overcorrect.
Yeah, I mean, if we've got some bad event playing out in front of us, we're losing control or we're starting to slide, we always want to steer towards the direction we want to go, turn our head basically. I mean, look to where you want to go. Just by doing that, your natural reaction will be your hands will follow and turn that steering wheel to the direction you want to go. So just start looking towards the direction you want to go, lifting your foot off the accelerator, naturally letting the vehicle come back to rest and slowing gradually, not rapidly hitting the brake, because in today's world, well, let me back that up. In today's world, we've got, depending on the vehicle that we have here, it might be some benefit of hitting the brake because we've got, you know, analog brakes that are going to compress rapidly. But generally, applying the brake in a manner that can assist you is best. You know, sometimes it's best to hammer the brake really hard, but a lot of times it's just feathering the brake if we're not rapidly, you know, braking or needing to brake really, really hard because something's going to happen right at that minute. So just, you know, increasing your following distance and being a good driver. You know, you are in control of yourself and your vehicle. You can't control what other drivers are doing and how they drive. So giving yourself more room, adjusting your speed, being aware of what's around you and always putting a seatbelt on.
Yeah, and then I think, again, that's a perfect segue into my next question as well, because when those incidents do happen, whether it's a fender bender or somebody sliding into a ditch, I don't know what it is. Traffic severely slows down by about 25 miles an hour, which is good, but at the same time, they are all looking to the right, taking their eyes off of the road and observing in the accident that just happened or the incident, and we don't need any more looky-loos out there on the road creating more danger.
Yeah, them looky-loos or rubbernecks is a term that we frequently use here in law enforcement. The rubbernecks, they look over, and as they look over, just as I said before, you look over and your hand sort of turn that direction, and you find yourself drifting over to the shoulder where we're at. So, you know, making sure you're adjusting for first responders on the shoulder, slowing down as Kansas law requires, but first off, moving over. So moving over first and slowing down second, doing both is ideal, and giving us room, because of all the things that I am most concerned of in my career, you know, there's a lot of hazards that you think of in law enforcement, but the biggest concern I have is being hit. And there's been some moments that have been extremely close on the side of the road, helping somebody at crash scenes or on a traffic stop. So adjusting, slowing down the moment you see emergency lights, and giving those first responders room to work.
Yeah, especially moving over that lane. I see so many times, even if it's just a simple traffic stop for speeding there, where citizens do not get over into the other lane. And you're right, it does pose the risk if they happen to be distracted. I've seen too many horrific videos of what you just described and the fear of being hit on the side of the road there. I've seen too many videos of it and too many times where people do not get over with that. So now, a lot of times when people are struggling to merge or to get over, and holiday season, increase in population on the roads. I know it's not necessarily Black Friday shopping season anymore, but people are going to be out on the roads and they're going to get irritated behind the wheel as well, you know, besides really just the basic, you know, the basic tip of avoiding road rage. Sometimes you really can't. What's the best way to kind of take your way away from that situation?
Well, what I do, well, first off, the first thing I do if I'm in uniform, I make a traffic stop, but the general public doesn't get to do that. So I speak out loud sometimes to myself in my sweet minivan when I'm off duty, which is just what I said before. I'm only in control of myself and my vehicle. I can't control what other motorists do, and that there are foolish drivers out there doing things that are risky. So to be aware, be mindful that, you know what? What am I doing, though? These other drivers are going to be doing things that are dangerous. We know that. We see it all the time. But what can I do to reduce and mitigate, you know, getting myself in a worse situation? If somebody cuts me off, you know, to not do what some people do, which is getting right behind the vehicle really, really close and tailgating them, you know, separating ourselves and putting some ownership in, hey, I don't want to further this situation and make it worse. So being mindful of that, slowing down, giving some space. If it gets to be where you've got a person really, really close and it's a road rage type situation, to take an alternate route if you can. And if need be, if the vehicle is still following you, to call Star 47, to have law enforcement be aware of our troopers being en route to assist with that, to try to reduce any conflicts that might occur.
Yeah, and again, you could even be in the right. It could have been them cutting you off. It could have been them brake checking you, whichever. And for, you know, some people get that resilience and almost a revenge factor in their head, and they think that they need to impose the situation and make it much worse. So, again, great pieces of advice here from Trooper Ben Gardner with the Kansas Highway Patrol. We got a couple minutes till we head to the bottom of the hour here. I think we've hit on some pretty good points for the holiday travel for all of our listeners. So did you have any final tips or shout-outs for our listeners down here in the SEK?
Well, what I would say is a couple things. You know, the first thing is, you know, you have to make sure you always wear your seatbelt. Of the wrecks that we worked in all of 2017, over half of those, almost 60% of those that were killed were not wearing a seatbelt. And I look at that, and I go to crash scenes where people have been killed, and I think, man, if a seatbelt would have been worn, it would have made a difference. And I just think of how often people don't recognize the benefits of seatbelts. I mean, there's people that know that, but do they truly always wear their seatbelt? That's an important thing. So always wearing your seatbelt and then staying away from fruitcake. That's probably the two tips I'd give.
Yeah, I'm not a fruitcake guy either, no doubt about it. Yeah, it's simple. I just don't get it either. It's probably as easy as the action of getting into your car is putting a seatbelt on.
Yeah, You're right. And I seatbelts are easy, fruit cakes not, and I don't know a single person. I personally don't know a single person that eats fruitcake. Do you? I don't know anybody.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Well, again, that is that's Trooper Ben with the Kansas Highway Patrol. Ben, thanks so much for joining us here on this Thursday morning. We'd really like to definitely keep in touch with the Kansas Highway Patrol with you guys, maybe on a monthly basis, bi-monthly, I'm not sure, but we'd love to check in with you guys and everything that you guys are doing. But, again, Trooper Ben, thanks so much, and you have a great Christmas, all right?
Thank you. You as well.
All righty. That, again, is Trooper Ben Gardner with the Kansas Highway Patrol. This is the Mighty 690 KGGF.